Probably best if we pray, huh? We just sang it, Lord. Descend upon our hearts. Write your covenant on our heart, your love, your grace. How about just for today, Lord, you let us know what your will is for us. And then please, please give us the power to do it. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, I wasn't kidding earlier when I said it's nice to see you again. Some of you I haven't seen since last week. It's nice to get outside when it's cold outside, mosquitoes are dead. Rejoice with that feeling. I still haven't figured out why you made mosquitoes, Lord, but yeah. Grateful, so grateful for your partnership in the gospel. And how about that senior choir and the orchestra on that last piece? Did you just melt? Yeah. Helping us in our walk with Christ, huge, so huge. Thank you. So, all kidding aside, how was your week? Busy? Yeah. A lot of stuff going on the calendar, of course. The 9th, lest we forget, the 9th was the night of broken glass called Kristallnacht. 1938, the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, the Nazis, started rounding up Jews and business owners, breaking the glass in their businesses, arresting them just because they were Jews. And then they go on to murder 6 million plus. Evil. We cannot forget that. Anti-Semitism still exists. And there are some fools out there who tell you it never happened. Don't believe them. Then the 10th. A high holy day in some of our lives. It was the 246th birthday of the United States Marine Corps, right, Colonel? Yes. God bless the Marine Corps. Snuck out there and went to see the Iwo Jima Memorial and walked through Arlington. Very humbling. Very humbling. And then, of course, the 11th was Veterans Day. We can never forget all those who served and are currently serving so we can worship the God of our choice here in this great country. And today, we get to worship. We're so grateful. 125 folks joining. It's New Member Sunday. Love it. So, we're going to look at Jeremiah. It's on page 642 if you want to follow along. But we're not going to get there right away because I got to do a little backstory about a bias whenever I read the Bible. And maybe you have a bias. What glasses do you wear when you read the Bible? Full disclosure, ready? When I read it, it says, God loves you. God is on your side. God is coming after you. God is relentless. The Lord is with you. If you don't believe that, check your pulse. The Lord is with you, and God goes to any length to prove to us over and over again the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, suffering, death, and resurrection on the cross. Jeremiah, this prophet that we're reading, right? It's a long read. You can't read it in one sitting unless you're a fast reader. He talks about all sorts of stuff. One of the lines in Jeremiah is not what we're reading today. It's from Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For surely you know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope." Love that one. Jeremiah brings a word of hope. And Lord knows we need hope, don't we? All the stuff going on in society, each day. When you read the Bible, do you ever get distracted? I don't mean reading squirrel, but I mean something more along the lines of your mind goes somewhere when you're reading. Here's my confession. Whenever I pick up the book of Jeremiah and start reading it, where does my mind go? Three Dog Night. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his wine. I've never drunk it with a frog. But I don't always understand frogs. Love how they croak, but I don't always understand. Especially when I read the Bible, I don't always understand everything. I keep reading it, love the story. I don't understand the prophets or other parts of the Bible. Jeremiah is no exception. So some background on this Jeremiah and what's going on in history when he's being charged with giving this word of God to the people. It's a time of uncertainty. The world is very much in doubt about where God is because we're what? The Babylonian captivity. People from another country come over, pick up all these Jews and swing them out into their country. The temple's in ruins, the city's in ruins. And thousands are in exile and the promises of God seem to have failed the people. Right? Into that disparaging world, Jeremiah speaks a word of hope. Part of this morning's reading mentions what? A new covenant. It says so even on the cover of the program. A new covenant. It's a promise. It's a promise with the people of God. You know, it's what Sunday? It's New Member Sunday. Guess what all new members, don't you love props in a sermon? Time to wake up. We got props and sermons, right? A new covenant I give you. Every new member of this congregation gets a covenant. And on it, it says things that Mount Olivet's going to promise to do for them. Place to get educated, hear good worship, weddings, funerals, spiritual growth, opportunities to be of service, volunteer, 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 we're at our best. And it goes on and on and on. If you don't have one of these and want one, call Pastor Lose. He signed it. Put it up in your garage or in your house, wherever you like to hang out. You have a promise, a covenant. Covenant that Jeremiah says is what? It'll be written, how did Pastor Hammer say it? It'll be written on our hearts. Over and over and over again in the Bible, God is the one who takes the initiative, comes to us. God comes to us and changes our hearts. Hearts that can be so cold and so ungrateful. Think of Kristallnacht, evil. God's love for us in Christ Jesus comes to us fresh and new each day. Prophet Jeremiah proclaims a promise of God, a promise that seems impossible during that day. Remember, everything's ruined and wrecked around him. Endless fidelity of God appears over and over and over again in Jeremiah. Question, does that ring true in our world today? Because if you look around, you can certainly say that Lord knows we need help, right? We need a message of hope that God will continue to make all things new. Remember, Pastor read that in verse 34? It says so right in your book. All will know me, says the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest. What does that mean? The least to the greatest? How do you judge that? Jeremiah, I think he envisions people bound together by the commitment that all people, all means all, that's all means, will be treated with human dignity and respect. Wouldn't that be nice? Huh. And then, did you get that line towards the end that Pastor read about forgiveness? God will forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more. Really? Forgiveness. Anybody got issues with forgiveness? Difficulty forgiving others, difficulty forgiving yourself. Sometimes I think we all have difficulty accepting the fact that we are forgiven, that we are accepted, that we are loved and beloved children of God. What does it say in Genesis? You are created in the image and likeness of God. You. Yeah. Accept the fact. Forgiveness. Someone told me this decades ago. He said, if you want to forgive someone, Kurt, give it to them. If you want to be reconciled, reach out. If you want to let go of resentments, then act in a way that acknowledges the humanity you share with your enemy. Maybe that person is spiritually sick just like I am. Almost done. I think a lesson that we're supposed to take, maybe we can take this lesson from Jeremiah, is that forgiveness is given. It's given freely by God. Again and again, a new covenant is made. I like how Jesus puts it. Maybe you've heard these words before too. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Amen.